Hello, and welcome to the Life Center Podcast. We're a church in Tacoma, Washington that exists to inspire our community to love and follow Jesus. To find out more about what's going on at all of our campuses, you can download the Life Center app, interact with us on social media, or visit lifecenter.com. Let's jump into this week's message. Thanks for listening.
He's on his way. He's on his way.
Did you hear? He's returning.
Who? Where was he?
Searching. The same as us. The difference is he's always been faithful, unwavering. But we've wavered. We got off course, sometimes unintentionally, other times with purpose, running toward moments of clarity, only to realize we've landed in the fog. We try so hard to mold this life, to bend it and shape it, telling it who we are and what we'll do, leaving behind truth. But the cost? We went astray, and we forgot the one who loves us. But here he comes. He's pursuing us. His reach is long, and he won't stop until everyone's heard, until everyone is found and brought back safely. Are we listening?
What will happen when he returns?
He will be made king.
Hey, thanks so much for joining with us at Life Center this weekend. It is Palm Weekend, Palm Sunday weekend, and I'm so looking forward to the week in front of us. At Life Center, we treat Holy Week as one storyline in three parts, beginning this weekend with Palm Sunday, Jesus' journey into the city of Jerusalem, and it leads us to Good Friday and then ultimately to Easter next weekend. I hope that you'll make the decision to join with us for all three of these parts. Hey, in that video you just saw, it's one of our creative elements that's going to weave through all parts of this week. And so I want to thank our production team and our creative team for shooting a creative piece that helps us lean into the story of Jesus. You notice in that previous video, all of these pictures of the Lamb. It reminds me of John the Baptist's words in the Gospel of John chapter 1. He says this in verse 29, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." That's really what we're going to focus in on over these next number of weeks. And one of the things that we're using is a simple metaphor, a simple image called stained glass. I want you to think for a moment about stained glass. Different colors, different shapes, different sizes. But by themselves, they don't really do a lot, but when you begin to put them together, it's able to tell a story. And here's what's interesting about stained glass. For thousands of years, mankind has used different shapes, different colors, different sizes of glass to create art, to create expression. This really reached its high point in the Middle Ages when the cathedrals all throughout Europe, they made these massive windows of stained glass, not only to bring light into those cathedrals, but more importantly, to tell the story of Scripture. And this was so significant because these stories that were being told and shared, it was being shared with a culture that was illiterate. In other words, people who couldn't read, they were able to walk into these cathedrals and look up and actually see the storyline of Scripture. And here's what I love about the story we're going to look to today in Scripture. Here it is, Palm Weekend. Is we see a glimpse of Jesus and one more piece of the mosaic that Jesus is bringing revelation to mankind of who he is, what his purpose, what his plan is for us. You see, that day that he journeyed into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, he was revealing something important. And here's what I want you to consider today. Even as we prepare to look together into Scripture, I want you to consider, have we embraced Jesus for who he really is? Let me say that question again. Have you embraced Jesus for who he really is? Now, with that in mind, let's look together to the Gospel of Matthew. I want us to look at a few verses in Matthew chapter 21. Matthew 21, let's look together. It says this, as Jesus and the disciples approached Jerusalem, they came to the town of Bethpage on the Mount of Olives. Jesus sent two of them ahead. Go into the village over there, he said. As soon as you enter it, you will see a donkey tied there with its colt beside it. Untie it and bring them to me. If anyone asks what you're doing, just say, the Lord needs them, and he will immediately let you take them. Now, this took place to fulfill the prophecy that said, tell the people of Jerusalem, look, your king is coming to you. Oh, come on. Can you say that out loud with me? Say, your king is coming to you. I love this promise. This prophecy was written 400 years before Jesus would enter into Jerusalem. And yet, there's this promise. Tell the people of Jerusalem, look, your king is coming to you. He is humble, riding on a donkey, riding on a donkey's colt. The two disciples, they did as Jesus commanded. They brought the donkey and the colt to him and threw their garments over the colt, and he sat on it. Most of the crowd spread their garments on the road ahead of him, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And by the way, that's why we refer to this as Palm Sunday. The people of Jerusalem began to lay all of their cloaks and all of these palm branches on the road in front of Jerusalem in this incredible procession that's happening. And Jesus was in the center of the procession, and the people all around him were shouting, praise God for the Son of David. That Greek word is literally the word Hosanna. We're going to come back to that in a moment. Hosanna, praise God for the Son of David. Blessing on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Praise God in the highest heaven. The entire city of Jerusalem was in an uproar as he entered. Now listen to this next part. Who is this? They asked. Think about that question for a second. Who is this? Man, commotion going on, the crowd, they're cutting down palm branches, they're laying out cloaks, there's this massive celebration, and there's all of this noise, all of this intensity, and people begin to ask, who is this? Who is this? And the crowds replied, it is Jesus, the prophet, from Nazareth in Galilee. Now, it's interesting the timeline that Jesus makes this journey into Jerusalem. It's very intentional. And what's going on? Jesus is literally living out the message. He's bringing the pieces of God's plan together to bring a revelation of who he is. This is like a living, illustrated message. And this is all taking place during Passover. See, he's journeying into Jerusalem for the Passover feast. And man, this is an important thought because Jesus is living this out real time in front of the people, and he's bringing this truth that I am the king that you've been looking for. You see, even the fact of how he's entering into Jerusalem, it's a fulfillment of that Old Testament prophecy, but it's revealing something to the people. You see, the donkey would have been the chosen animal that the royal monarchs would have ridden in on. And it's this declaration of, I know who I am. People are calling out around him. And some scholars believe that Jerusalem during this festival, it would have kind of filled up with the pilgrims who are there to celebrate this festival together. Nearly a few million people in and around Jerusalem. Imagine that, just the chaos, the crowds, everything going on. People are crying out, Hosanna, Hosanna. See, crowds are around Jesus. People are celebrating Jesus. And here's what's important. People are making statements about Jesus. Remember the question we read just a moment ago, who is this? The people asked, and it's interesting, the people replied, oh, it's Jesus, and then they say this, he's the prophet. He's the prophet. But Jesus is revealing so much more than just being a prophet. He's revealing something significant. And today, listen, here's the point. Here we are, Palm Sunday weekend, and here's what I want us to consider today. How we see Jesus shapes what we expect from him. How we see Jesus shapes what we expect from him. You see, if we only expect Jesus and we only see Jesus as a good teacher, then here's what we're going to expect to receive from Jesus, some good teaching. If we only see Jesus as a miracle worker, then here's kind of what we expect. Well, he's the guy who works some miracles. If we only expect him to be a good moral figure from somewhere in history, well, he's one of those historical figures that we look back upon. How we see Jesus shapes what we expect from him. But can I tell you today, he's so much more than just a prophet. He's so much more than just a good teacher. He's so much more than just a miracle worker. Friends, what Jesus is revealing, he is our King and our Savior. See, that day that Jesus rides into the town, listen, some of the crowd, they've only seen what? They've only seen a piece of who Jesus is. But Jesus is beginning to fill the pieces in and bring the pieces together to reveal God's great rescue plan. And my question for you today is, how do you see Jesus? What is it that you're expecting from him? You see, as we look at the storyline and we look at these few verses from Matthew's gospel, I want you to consider some things that Jesus is intentionally expressing, not just to the crowd then, but to us today. Because again, how we see Jesus, what we see him as, it shapes what we can expect from him. The first thing that I want us to notice is Jesus is declaring that he is king. Come on, right there in that living room, can you just say king with me? Say king. Jesus is declaring, I am king. I am king. I'm not just a teacher, I'm king. I'm the king of this place. I'm the king of your life. I am king. I love what Zechariah chapter 9, and this is what Matthew quotes when he quotes the Old Testament. Zechariah chapter 9, it makes the statement, look, your king is coming to you. Oh, I love this statement. Here's why. So often the kings of this world expect their people to come to them. But here's what Jesus is revealing as he rides on that donkey into Jerusalem that day. What it speaks to those people then and what it speaks to us today is that we have a king who came to us. Jesus is the king who came to us. Now the challenge is the people saw him as a prophet, but not necessarily as king. But Jesus is revealing, no, I'm king, but I'm a king who's coming toward you. Aren't you thankful today that Jesus isn't just waiting for you to get yourself to Him? Man, that's such good news. Maybe some of us, that's how we've seen Jesus. We see this kind of God who's waiting for us to get our act together. And once we finally get all of our stuff together, then maybe He'll accept us. But the good news is this. Listen, Jesus is the King who already came towards us. He journeyed towards us. He willingly journeyed into the city of Jerusalem that day. Why? Because He was demonstrating, He was revealing, He's the God who came to us. Man, I want to live in and under the rule of that type of King. What about you? What about you? Now here's something important to recognize. You see, if we're going to see Jesus as King, it means something significant to us. And here's what it means. It means that He's ruler over everything in my life. If I'm going to say that Jesus is King, it means that He's ruler over everything. Do you know when a king sits on a throne, he doesn't just sit on a throne for 1 hour a week? When a king rules, he rules over everything. And for us to recognize, for us to embrace what Jesus is revealing about Himself, it means that if He's going to be King in my life, it means that He's got to be King for more than just an hour on a weekend. It means that He's got to be King more than just kind of what maybe I would consider my spiritual life. No, if He's going to be King, what that means is He's actually taking rule and reign over every area of my life. And so the question that I want you to consider today is, do I see Him as King? Do you see Him as King? Jesus is already revealing it. The day that He came into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, He was revealing, listen, there's no question. I'm King. He came into the city as a victorious King. He didn't show up on a horse trying to demand authority. No, He came in already having declared that He is conquered. He's King. Second thing that we see in this journey into Jerusalem is Jesus is revealing this truth, not just to the people then, but to us today. Yes, He's King, but second, He's revealing that He is Savior. He's Savior. Can you say Savior with me? Say Savior. Yes, He's King, but He's also declaring to the people, I am Savior. I love Matthew 21, verse 9. The people were crying out, blessed be the name of God. The original Greek word right there is the word Hosanna. In fact, depending on what translation of the Bible that you're reading, you'll see the word right there is Hosanna. You want to know what that word literally means? It means this, Lord, save now. So imagine this, the people, they're cutting down palm branches and they're laying them out on the road in front of Jesus as He's traveling into Jerusalem. And their declaration is Hosanna. In other words, they're crying out to Jesus, Lord, save now. Save now. In other words, listen, it's a plea from oppressed people who are longing to be rescued. They're longing to be saved. They're wanting deliverance. You see, it's interesting as you look at this cry from the people, what are they looking for Jesus to do for them? What is the salvation that they actually want? Well, for the people here, they're wanting to be saved from the rule of Rome. You see, Rome had taken up occupation. They're wanting a political salvation. And what Jesus is reminding them, what Jesus is revealing to them is, listen, the salvation that I'm bringing is not just a political salvation. No, the salvation that I have for you is so much more because I'm here to be your Savior for your eternal salvation. Eternity. You see, what they wanted salvation from, it was about what they wanted and needed right there in the moment. What about you? What about you? What's the salvation that you're looking for? Can I tell you, Jesus, He offers you a salvation so much more than just what's going on right now in the moment. But His salvation is eternal. His salvation is strong. His salvation is more than enough. Yeah, He revealed He's King, but understand this, He also revealed, I'm Savior. I'm Savior. I am the one who's coming towards you to reach you, to bring salvation, to bring hope. And yet, here's what I want us to recognize today. To see Jesus as Savior requires us to understand that we are in need of saving. If I see Him as Savior, it means that, guess what? At some level, I don't just need an encourager. I don't need just somebody to give me a moral example to try to pattern my life after. I actually need rescue. Jesus is demonstrating that one of our great needs, one of our only needs, salvation. To be rescued from where we're at. You see, I want to remind us, it's not just salvation from the bad things we've done. He also wants to rescue us from our own efforts of trying to save ourselves. In other words, all the times that we tried to do the right things to somehow fix ourselves up so that we could get ourselves to God. Did you know as Jesus came into the city that day, it was a declaration. No, I'm the God who's coming towards you to be your king, to be your Savior. But finally, I want us to recognize what Jesus also reveals when he entered Jerusalem that day. He revealed that he came to be our substitute. Can you say substitute? Jesus came to be our substitute. I want you to consider these words from the Old Testament in Isaiah chapter 53, verses 4 through 6. It says, "Yet it was our weakness that he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. And we thought his troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for his own sins." Look at this next verse, verse 5. "But he was pierced for our rebellion. He was crushed for our sins. He was beaten so that we could be whole. He was whipped so that we could be healed. All of us, like sheep, have strayed away." Isn't that the truth? We've all messed up. We've all kind of wandered. And yet, listen to this. "We have left God's path to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on him," speaking of Jesus, "the sins of us all." You think about this great rescue plan that Jesus is revealing to us. He came to reveal that he's our King. He came to reveal that he's our Savior. But ultimately, he's reminding the people of Jerusalem in that time period, and it's a declaration for us today. Friends, he came to be our substitute. We're going to talk about this in depth on Friday for Good Friday. I hope that you'll join with us. But recognize this. Jesus, he entered into Jerusalem to be the perfect Passover lamb. See, part of the reason why the people are celebrating in Jerusalem at the time, they were looking back to the book of Exodus. They were reminding themselves of how God delivered them from bondage, from slavery, and set them free from their captors in Egypt. And one of the things that God asked his people to do in that time period was to sacrifice a perfect lamb and apply the blood of that lamb to the doorposts of their home. Why? So that his wrath, the judgment, would pass over his people. So all the people are gathered together. Jesus enters into Jerusalem and he's reminding the people, listen, I'm here to be king. I'm here to be Savior, but understand this, I'm here to be your substitute. In other words, Jesus has accomplished for us what we cannot accomplish for ourselves. It's the purpose of why he entered the city that day. He was declaring to not just those people then, but to us right now. He came to reach this world. And yet, will we recognize how we see Jesus shapes what we expect from him? How do you see him? In other words, I want to go back to the question that we started with from Matthew. When the people in the crowd, they're watching Jesus enter into the city, they ask this question, three words, "Who is this?" Can I encourage you right now to pause right where you're at? And I want those three questions to be made personal to you. Who is this? See, maybe when it comes to understanding Jesus, you've seen little pieces here or there. But you see, as Jesus enters Jerusalem, he's taking all of the pieces of the storyline of Scripture. He's taking all the different pieces of what's been revealed about God's mission, and he's bringing it together into a beautiful mosaic, a beautiful reminder that he's come to reach mankind. He's come to be king. He's come to be savior. And he ultimately, friends, he is our substitute. Who is this? That question is so significant because each of us, we have to wrestle with it. We have to consider it. We have to ask ourselves, man, how will I answer that question? You see, on Palm Sunday, days before he would give his life, Jesus willingly entered into Jerusalem to reveal something. He entered into Jerusalem to reveal that he came to reach through being king, through being savior, through being our substitute. Today, right where you're at, can I encourage you to trust in this great rescue plan that God has provided? How you see Jesus shapes what you receive from him. And today, maybe you're in this place where you recognize, man, I need to put my trust in Jesus. I thought this was all about me rescuing myself. I thought following Jesus or having a walk with God, I thought it was just about me fixing myself up. But can I tell you, no. You have a king who wants to rule for your good in your life. You have a Savior. He wants to rescue you and pull you out of where you're at. And he loved you so much that he was willing to become your substitute. Today, if you desire to experience that new life that Jesus, he alone provides, can I invite you to do something with me right now? I'm going to say a simple prayer, and I would love for you, no matter where you're sitting right now, no matter what screen you're looking at, can I invite you to say a simple prayer with me? Would you join me? Say, Jesus, thank you for loving me. Today, I put my trust in you. Forgive me of my sin. Make me a new creation. And help me to follow you every day of my life. Thank you that you're my king. Thank you that you are my savior. Thank you that you have become my substitute. And I choose to follow you each and every day. In your name I pray, amen. Listen, I want to be the first person, for those of you who just prayed that prayer, I want to be the first person to congratulate you on the greatest decision you could have ever made in your life. I love that 2 Corinthians 5:17 reminds us, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old is gone and all things have been made new. That means the shame, the separation, all of that stuff, it's been dealt with because of putting your trust in Jesus. Hey, listen, I want to thank you for joining with us for Palm Weekend here at Life Center. And can I encourage you, make sure you go to EasterWithLifeCenter.com, download some of those different resources, invite some friends, man, shoot an invite via text or social media. Join with us this Friday and next weekend for Easter weekend right here at Life Center. God bless. We'll see you soon.
Hey, thanks for joining us today. Listen, in just a few minutes, Pastor Tyler is gonna hop over live on Instagram at the accounts listed on the screen. We'd love it if you'd go say hi to him. Hey, if you said yes to following Jesus today, congratulations. Wanna make sure you click the link in the chat to receive the Following Jesus book. Also wanna make sure that you join us for Good Friday and Easter weekend. Don't forget to bring a friend by sharing this link. Additionally, this replay is gonna be available all week long here on our website. Now let's go, let's make it our mission to know Jesus and make him known. We'll see you soon.